Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, March 17th. We're coming at you at the speed of light. Actually, the speed of sound.
Right.
They can't see us, right?
No.
And the speed of sound is fast enough, I think.
I think so, too. And happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, absolutely. I totally forgot this morning, but people were reminding everybody last night on the social networks. So, do you celebrate it?
No.
It's a holiday for you, though. I mean, it's a drinking holiday.
I don't really need it in my life.
Yeah, you don't relate to it.
No, so, like, things like St. Patrick's Day, what else? Cinco de Mayo, things like that, I don't care for them.
Right.
You'd be surprised, I know, because considering that I have a show called Two Drunk Girls, but they're not really my kind of holiday.
Okay.
I like Christmas.
Okay.
And New Year's.
So it doesn't have to be a special drinking holiday. It just has to be a holiday for you.
Right.
And you can drink during it.
I also don't like being forced to drink. Like, the pressure to drink for me, it's like drinking for drinking's sake is not enjoyable.
Right. Now, you know how we feel on Valentine's Day when we're expected to do things, you know?
I get it. However, I do love Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Because it promotes love. Like, what does St. Patrick's Day promote? Leprechauns and pots of gold and alcohol?
That's true, yeah. I don't know, but there's obviously a lot of Irish influence in the United States.
You know, yes.
There's a lot of people from Ireland here.
And people really just like any excuse to drink.
Yeah, I know, a reason to party.
But to me, it's also like Halloween. I don't really like getting dressed up in Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
So people wear green on St. Patrick's Day and like go dress up in green and run around the city. I'm like, go home.
Yeah, relax. Calm down a little bit.
Right.
With all these costumes and everything.
But I get it. Some people need an excuse to drink. Like, they don't, you know, drink regularly like me.
Yeah.
So. If it's fun for you, enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, we don't need special events and everything. Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, an interesting guest. So we're going to talk to her. And, it's going to be a cool show. Tomorrow we're going to have a studio guest, right?
Yes, my friend.
For us. Now, what is her angle for the appearance on the show? What does she do?
Caitlin. She is a blogger, and she has a cashmere line. So it's called Caviar and Cashmere, and she designs scarves and robes and throws and, you know, luxury items for your home at a somewhat affordable price. You know, it's luxury. It's, I don't know. It's
okay, well,
affordable luxury.
Us.
Yes, she'll tell us.
Yeah.
And she writes a great blog, and, you know, bloggers are very popular in, you know, telling us about fashion and what's hot and not. So she's one of them.
Yeah. Well, it depends who, but you're saying she's got pretty good reputation, right?
Yeah.
Because anybody in their mother blogs, you know.
No, she's got a following. She's got a following.
Not everybody's like an authority on what they're talking about.
No, people will like pay her to write about them and stuff.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So, but how, how objective is that? If they pay her to write about them, they're going to write good things.
No, she won't always write about some, like, it in a positive way, but she'll write about it. It's also, you know, promotion's better than no promotion.
Yeah, that's true, you know, but I can't imagine if I paid her money and she said negative things about me that I would be very happy.
Right. Well, you can ask her how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's true. So, well, this is cool. So we've been looking for a house for my parents, and we thought we found a couple that were amazing. But, you know, so we went to look at them. You wouldn't believe the number of people that would come in and out looking at it. And we thought, you know, my God, what happened here? The situation is that we live in the valley where they don't really have room to build anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of new construction.
Right.
So what happens is when people keep moving here and they want to find a house, there's not that many in the market. They're expensive and people can't find a place. So we made an offer, and somebody offered like, you know, $25,000 more,
$35,000
more. Oh, wow. And you go, my God, you know, they'll probably even get more than that, you know, because people are going to outbid each other or something.
Well, why not just rent a place?
because, well, many reasons, you know. But, I mean, they're getting older and everything, you know. So we want them to have their own place and also not to waste the money.
Right.
You know, rent is wasting money, although I'm a renter, but, you know, it depends what you like and stuff.
Yeah.
I prefer apartments because I don't have to really take care of anything, you know. With a house, you've got like... So, you know, I mean, when you have a family, it's one thing. But to live alone in a house, I don't really need that.
Right.
You know? So, so that's why we're not renting, you know. But I'm realizing it's going to be hard to find a place, you know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, prices are like through the roof here in L.A., you know,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
they're really, really high. And but that's because there's so many people looking for houses.
So many people and not that many great properties. So when there are good ones that go on the market, they get snatched up.
Yeah, exactly.
And a bidding war.
Yeah. And that's what happens, you know. So if you have a house and you're selling, now is the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these houses weren't even on the market 2 days.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So
how
I was kind of disappointed.
Them.
I know.
For the seller.
Yeah. But one, I mean, one of the houses was like amazing. You could tell they fixed it up. They were like a retired couple there, so you could see he invested a lot of time and money. They made it like a desert landscape, you know, where they don't put lawn, but they put like rocks and cactuses and
That's
things
so cool.
like that. Yeah. So and he put all kinds of like sculptures and little figurines of gnomes and stuff there.
That's funny.
I don't know why, but they really fixed it up nicely. So it had a certain character to it, you know, and it definitely stood out on that street. But that's something that desert landscaping, I think, is we're all going to have to do this, you know, people with houses. Because we're running out of water.
Right.
And, you know, and it's really, really bad. I mean, I try to ignore it, but every time I see an article and a lot of people are posting it on Facebook, it's pretty depressing, man. I don't know what to tell you.
I wonder what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, they're going to have to reroute water from somewhere else, obviously. You know, but that's ridiculous.
So what's going to happen with this house hunt? Do you have like a realtor that's helping you?
Yeah. But... You know, that's the thing. They can only do so much.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, you know. But, yeah, so like in Vegas, everybody's got like desert landscape almost, you know, because.
Well, that's the climate.
Yeah, you know, and they don't want to, they don't want to take care of their lawns too, you know. So they're trying to save money. They obviously have less water than we do. So, but they have the dam there, so I don't know what's going on, how it works. But I'm sure we're going to find water somewhere else, but it's going to be limited.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I told you on the elevator, I looked at a 2-week forecast, sun every day, 80 degrees. I mean, how can you argue with that, right?
No, I'm pretty excited
Amazing.
About it.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go to the beach. I need to find some time to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Now is the time to go before it gets way too hot.
Well, I'm okay with the heat.
Yeah?
As long as I'm, like, at the beach, I don't mind it. If I'm just, like, going about business and, like, it's just sweltering, I don't really like that.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting to find people are sweaty and stuff, you know. You hug them and stuff. It's like, oh, you know.
Ew.
I know. What are you going to do, man, you know? So, so what's going on? Anything new with you you'd like to report? Anything happening?
Not at the time.
Not at the time, huh?
Nope.
Not anything that you can report at any rate.
Well, nothing exciting. I do want to start watching The Jinx. I need to make that a priority.
I've heard of it. What's
yeah, it's
it
on
about?
HBO. It's about Robert Durst.
Really? That show that, I mean, that guy that they arrested?
Yeah. So they right now there's like speculation about whether or not HBO made a deal with LAPD about like, let us air our 6 episodes and then you can arrest him.
Really?
Because they have him on film basically admitting to the crime.
Right.
I mean, and he was suspected of killing 3 people and getting away with it in like 70 years.
Right.
And finally.
I don't think it's on video though. It's only sound, isn't it? Because.
No.
Well, at least I read that he left his microphone on when he went to the bathroom and he was talking to himself. So I can't imagine there was a camera there, but. I think they were just showing what you saw. I think they're just showing sort of like the apartment and stuff or the house, but and then playing the video.
But yeah, and then I guess he admits to it. But also then somebody else found like a handwritten letter like that he basically said he did it. And so,
yeah, you see, they're saying he didn't really tell anybody. So that's the controversy now is, you know, maybe he was just mumbling to himself or something, you know. So it's not an admission. That's what his defense is saying. So we'll see what happens, you know. But, I mean, three people.
Right.
They're accusing him of killing, right?
And getting away with it all this time.
Wow.
And, I mean, he could go to, you know, jail for life or be... Yeah. The death penalty.
Even death penalty, yeah, they were saying.
So now I'm, like, extra fascinated by watching it because I need to see, like, the details.
Yeah.
And I guess he's, like, kind of sociopathic because he's very, like, what? Like, I might have done it, I didn't do it. Like,
really?
Yeah. Wow. So I want to watch.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. Can you imagine if you have a condition where you don't remember what you do and you go kill somebody or something?
Well, I mean, is that what they're saying he has?
No, no. Uh-oh. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just thinking about it. I mean, you brought that up, so I was thinking, you know, would you believe somebody like that?
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
But I think in this case, he's just an asshole.
Yeah.
So, and he's sociopathic, so he does what he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
With no remorse.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
No, yeah, yeah. Yesterday, we had a great guest, huh? We had Elena Burnett in the studio, and we were talking relationships and stuff, and she said some smart things. Huh?
She did. I was actually talking to Lauren this morning about her and some of the things she said. Some of the things I did not agree with at all, and I also don't think she was listening to what I was saying because I didn't think that – I think she was giving advice that was pertinent, but it wasn't in relation to what I was saying. Like, she heard me say – something and she took it and ran with it.
I see. Okay.
Versus what I was actually saying. Okay. So, but I do think that there were some, you know, interesting points she made about like feminine energy and about, you know, like we each play our role. And if you're going to do the man's job, then he's not going to have a job.
Right. Yeah. And also about priorities.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I also think are not a problem. If your priorities are your priorities, those are them.
Exactly. So, but what she told you is then don't complain when you don't find someone. Well, you know, if it's not a priority.
Here's the thing, is that I do come in contact with men all the time.
Right.
And I can judge on my own if they're good or not for me.
Right.
So when I continue to encounter men that aren't great for me in my everyday, I can say that those aren't great men. Yes, okay. I could continue on a search to find the greatest man of all time, but also right now, that's not where my energy is focused.
Right.
Okay, but I can talk freely about the people I do encounter.
Right.
And which I have an opinion about all of them. So.
Right, which is fine. But we were talking about the way you may come across or something, you know.
I mean, maybe, but I also.
Because, I mean, if someone said, I'm really busy all the time and stuff, I'd probably like run for the hills, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
well, I don't say I'm super busy to the people I want to spend time with.
Cool. So. Well, that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Exactly. So there are nuances to this where you're listening right now, but she was like attacking. I felt like I'm not your
client. Did you really feel she was attacking? Really?
Why? I felt like probably because I was talking more about me and like that was something for her to feed off of because she does give advice.
Okay.
She took it as giving me advice.
Okay.
I don't really.
You don't want advice.
I do, but. Let me ask it or let me like get out what I want to say and then give me the advice.
But maybe she was just responding to what you were saying. I mean, it's a radio show. You
right,
know? We invited her to talk.
Exactly. I just felt like it wasn't necessarily the right advice for the issues that I
Right. But she has certain views, you know, and because...
And there's no way in hell I'm going to go sit at a sporting event by myself.
Yeah.
There's no chance of that.
Yeah, I know.
And not every week, because also then I think you look like a groupie. And if you're the one girl there, don't you think you're only picked because you're the one girl there?
Maybe. I don't know that you'll be the only girl there. I mean, there's a lot of women going to watch sports events.
Well, she was saying like...
go to that horse racing thing.
Right. I mean, I'm sure I'll find my person. I have an idea of where that person might be, and it's just...
Really?
Yeah.
Like geographically where they might be?
Okay. No. But like at this stage in my life, I feel like I'm sort of on the move with my career and things like that. And I think that you're open to different people when you're in a different space.
I see.
So if I'm continuing to be in one certain space, those are the people I'm going to meet.
Right.
Just like people at a job. That's where you're going to meet your people.
Right. That's true.
So if my career is on the up, then that's where I'll meet the people that I'm meeting.
Yeah. Hmm. Okay, well, sounds good. Now, two calls are coming in. I'm going to guess who our guest is, okay? So we're going to try this one. Good morning. You're on the air. Is this Andrea or Andrea?
Hi, Sam.
Hi, yes. Good morning.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good. I had to pick out of two lines, and I recognized the area code because I was on your website, and there's the number there, so this is cool. So I picked the right call, Andrea. Is it Andrea or Andrea?
Andrea,
okay, because usually by the spelling you never know, you know what I'm saying? So
No, I'm Andrea, sometimes Andy.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's cute.
Where are you calling us from this morning?
In New York.
Oh, in New York? Is that where you live?
That's where I live, yes.
Oh, I see. Because it's interesting, because I'm seeing a picture of like California LA. Beach here on your website. Is that a California beach here?
I spend a lot of time in L.A., and I'm moving probably in 5 or 6 months to spend, you know, to be there full time.
Oh, wow, amazing. So did you used to live here before?
I haven't lived there, but I've always spent a lot of time there. I have friends there. I have clients there. I'm getting ready to publish my next book.
Wow.
And I want to get involved with a TV and film project based on my business and the books I've published.
Right.
So,
and this is the place to do
there.
It. Yeah, this is the place to do it. That's where it all happens.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Andrea, so tell us a little bit what you do, and then we'll discuss your books and everything. So,
all right.
Go ahead.
I'm a life coach, and I became a coach after I got divorced when I started working with a life coach because I wasn't interested in therapy anymore.
Yeah.
And I loved the process, and I got certified, and I started coaching. And through my coaching, I started writing. I wrote my first book while I was going through my divorce, when I started like going out there and dating and, you know, so much was going on in my life, and I started keeping a journal. And I was reading it to a friend of mine one day, and she said, "You have to publish this." And I published it, and I started getting into writing again. And I just finished writing my second book, which is a love story based on my life and stories from my clients. And, you know, it's a great story. I must say so myself.
Yeah. you better say so yourself.
But, and also my specialty now is coaching men. I love working with men.
Why is that?
You know, because most men don't like therapy. And this is so different from therapy. And I feel like I've always been like a guy's girl, and I can relate to men. And for some reason, I kind of like manifested to be having a coaching practice, coaching basically, you know, men. I still coach women as well.
Right.
But I love coaching men because I love getting them to talk.
Right.
And, you know, I have a good sense of humor, and I'm easy to talk to. So it's easy for them to talk to me. And we just, like, talk. It's like having, like, a new best friend.
That's
true. You know,
they
don't consider it like, you know, I'm their doctor or their therapist.
Right. So it's a great alternative for going to a therapist is to go with a life, or you call it a lifestyle coach. When did you get started in this?
I got started, when I was going through my divorce, I was going to a therapist, and I came out of the office one day, and I said, this was like 6 years ago, and nobody was really talking about life coaching.
Mm.
But I knew I didn't want to do therapy anymore, but I wanted something that was going to help me.
Yeah.
So I started Googling life coaching, and it was mostly out west. You know, most of the top coaches.
Right.
And I found, you know, I found a coach online, and I asked him to work with me. And he was like a Harvard graduate, and he was a business coach. And I'm like this, you know, desperate housewife calling him for help. But we ended up connecting, and he said, "I definitely want to take you on." And then after working with him and moving on with my life, he told me I should be a coach.
Oh, wow. So you're like a natural born coach.
Well, I have good instincts with people, and I like, you know, I like to help people. So
yeah, that's important.
Yeah, it's my thing.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what did you do before that, Andrea?
Before, I was raising 3 children. I was basically a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
I used to write a lot when I was, like, in high school, but I stopped writing to, like, get married and raise kids. And, you know, all of a sudden, I was inspired after I got divorced to start writing again. And I'm just, that's my main passion, is my writing.
Very cool. So you've been writing for a while now, or for most of your life.
I wrote a lot when I was younger, and I published my book in 2012, but unfortunately my mom passed away that year. Mm. So everything was kind of put on hold again, and then something happened to me with a relationship, and I decided to start writing about it, and it just turned into my next love story. And I'm writing my book from my voice, but also from the 2 men in the story, because I want men to, like, read it. And most men, like, don't want to read, like, a romance novel.
Right.
But I'm writing it from a guy's point of view, so they'll read it.
Oh, okay, cool. And so what's the name of this book that you're talking about? Your story.
My first book was called When You're Ready.
Okay. So
this book is kind of like, the title is still a question mark.
Uh-huh.
But it might be called L.A. Manifesta.
Okay.
I'm not a guru, and I'm not like a yogi or any of that,
right.
But I do believe in manifesting.
Right. So,
and manifesting got me to where I am right now, so I totally believe in it.
Wow. Talk a little bit about that. What do you mean by manifesting?
Manifesting is like kind of like shifting your energy to the things that you want and the way you want your life to be, instead of complaining and trying to figure out why things aren't going right. Like I've always like envisioned myself being working, you know, doing a TV pilot or some kind of film project, and I focus on that and I think about it every day, and it makes my writing better. You know, it saves me from having a lot of stress in my life. You have to focus on what you want, not on what's not going right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, go on.
That's one of the tools I use with my clients. You know, they'll sit here, I'll say, okay, just give me a brief background about your history, but then we're going to just take it forward. Okay, what do you want? What do you see your life as? Let's manifest it.
Right. So make things happen, the things that you want.
Make things happen, exactly.
Yeah.
And I used to think it was weird and I was just living in fantasy land. But then when things really started happening that I was focusing on, I said, this stuff really works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, I can imagine that this would also be, nice, a good catharsis for you to put everything that you have in writing, so you can spread the message.
Right, and I write in a way that it's like, it's easy for everyone to understand. Like I said, I'm not very guru. It's just, you know, I'm a Jewish girl who's a life coach, who got divorced, who has a sense of humor, and I'm writing it in my voice so everyone can understand it.
Very cool. So, so the books, I'm looking on your website, there's a book called The New Cool. Is this the one you're talking about and the name is not final yet?
No, The New Cool is an e-book I wrote last year just explaining how I work and what my philosophy is as far as my coaching goes.
I see. Well, it's definitely a great title. I mean, I would like to read that. It sounds pretty cool. When did this one... I'm sorry.
I wanted... The title came up kind of organically because somebody was asking me about coaching, like, what's it like? And I said, it's going to be like your new cool. Like, you're going to feel like, you know, a different person when you're being coached. It's like you can breathe, you can talk about what you really want to say. You know, you don't have to BS with me. Like, let's talk about it and let's talk about what you really want and move forward.
Right.
So, and I said to them, it's like being the new cool. So that's when, you know, it clicked and I said, I got to go home and write an ebook.
Yeah. Very cool.
You know, that's how it happens.
Yeah. So obviously, you talk to people in areas like dating and relationships and so forth. What else do you coach people about?
You know what? No matter what somebody calls me about, like sometimes they'll say, you know, I'm stuck at work and I want to start a new career, or I just got divorced and I have to get back in the dating world, or I'm still single. Whatever it is, it all comes back to the same thing with me. It's really about learning how to be your best authentic self, especially with like the dating stuff. I mean, I can't say anything against the dating coaching world, but it's really about who you're being, not about finding the right person.
I see. So,
and I think once you can really be yourself and start liking yourself again, the other stuff will just fall into place.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I mean, you got to start with number one. You got to start with yourself.
Yeah, everybody. I mean, with Tinder and everything, with everything that's going on, everyone's just spending their day searching. You know, instead of searching, just be the kind of person that you want your soulmate to meet.
That's true. Yeah, just be available. Be out there. You know, it's not going to come to you. So
exactly. I mean, you have to take action, but it's so much more about who you are.
Right. Now, what experience do you bring to the table? I mean, you said you were licensed as well. How does a life coach get certified or licensed? Because obviously you have to have some kind of an authority on the things that you say, right? Because people rely on you.
Right. Well, here's the thing. There's so many of my clients who want to become coaches ask me that question. And I've even thought about like developing a program to certify people.
Right.
There are so many different ways to get certified. You can spend thousands of dollars with certification programs. You know, I didn't spend a lot of money. I used an inexpensive program. Uh-huh. But most of coaching, like 90% of my coaching, is experience.
I see. Well, I guess that qualifies you. Yeah, if you've been through it already, you know.
It's just, you know, I've been through the coach. I say to everybody, if you want to be a coach, you have to be coached.
Right. Yeah, it makes sense, you know. Yeah, definitely. So, well, Andrea, sounds great. We're talking to Andrea Gross. Go ahead and give out your website so people can find out more.
Okay, my website is AndreaLifestyleCoach.com. I just launched my new site today, as a matter of fact.
What's that? What's today?
I just launched my brand new website today. It's a little bit different than probably the one you saw.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at one right now. It looks pretty cool, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, very cool. Well, congratulations on the updated site.
Thank you.
Yeah, everybody, if you want to check out the books, they're on the website as well. And Andrea, so you provide, I would imagine, coaching to people anywhere, right? Probably with Skype or some
or phone calls.
Yeah, phone. Or yeah,
anywhere over the phone. I think when I move to LA, I might open an office and do in person, but for now, it's on the phone because I'm so busy with my books and writing, and you know, it's mainly on the phone right now.
Amazing. Okay, so people can contact you through the website. We're not going to give out all the social networks because they're all right here on the website, and your phone number and everything. So you guys can book an appointment with Andrea and draw on her experience. You know, so anything you'd like to add, Andrea, that you want to promote?
Just if there's any screenwriters listening, I'm looking for writers to collaborate with for my book project.
Sounds good.
Hopefully I would love to get a TV show out there or some kind of movie to explain, you know, kind of like a rom-com kind of media project, just to get the coaching thing out there. But like I said, not in the guru way.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, this is definitely
like
the place to do it. Yeah, this is the place to do it, you know. So we welcome you here in a few months. And if you'd like to come into the studio, we'll be glad to have you once you're here. So there you go.
Okay, we love that. I'll probably be out there in May, so I'll be in touch.
Okay, sounds great,
Andrea.
Great,
we'd love to meet you.
And we connected through LinkedIn, right? You
what?
We connected through LinkedIn. You sent me a message. But you know what the funny thing is that only a few days ago I decided I'm really going to invest some time in LinkedIn. So I went through all the messages. You must have sent it some time ago. But I like to answer messages when people write me. You know, it's just I wasn't even aware there were so many messages there. So you sounded interesting and you asked nicely. So I'm glad to have you on.
Yeah, but you see what I mean? It was timing because now my book is finished this week and my website just launched today. So this was perfect.
Awesome. Andrea Gross, everybody, check out AndreaLifestyleCoach.com. You'll find out everything about her. Andrea, thank you so much. You're a lot of fun, full of information. And
thank you.
Thank you for coming on our show this morning.
Thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah. Jen, maybe you should be a life coach too, huh?
I was thinking about it.
Yeah?
I was curious, actually, to where she got certified. And thank you for saying that. Are you saying that I would give good advice, or you're just giving me a new career?
No. Well, both, actually. I think you've had your experiences and stuff, you know, so you can share those with people, whatever you learned and things like that. I think, you know... I think the best life coaches are friends, though, good friends.
No, they're the worst.
So? Really?
Those are the worst. Never go to your friends.
You don't think they tell you the truth about what they see? Really?
They definitely do not tell you the truth. Well, everyone tells you their experience. Oh, no, they tell you advice based on their experience.
Right.
So that's bias based on their life experiences.
Right.
So if somebody's had one version of a life and yours is completely different, their advice is going to be drastically different than what you need to take.
Right.
And you may not agree with it.
But you could say that about at any point in your life doing life coaching, you know.
Well, no, because if a life coach is trained in certain things, like you're at least you have a basis. Like yoga teachers, for instance, are all taught a certain type of yoga, let's say. They all get certified. They all learn all the poses. They learn what everything means. And then they teach it to you. They add their own spin to it and like whatever they want to talk about or focus on. But at least they come from a certain basis of information.
Right.
Your friends.
Yeah.
They have no information. They have life information. That's it.
And right. But they know you. You know, that's the thing. They probably
but they
know
still
you better
know them.
Than the coach would.
Yeah. But you don't need somebody like that has their biased information. Like, let's say you're dating a guy and that person just doesn't like that guy at all.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do with how they feel.
Right.
So their advice is going to be based on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Probably, yeah. Unless they know how to not to judge, you know?
I guess.
But that's hard to find people like that.
Yeah. So I think that life coaches and therapists and all that stuff is great because it's an unbiased person in your life.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they're coming from education.
Yeah. And they're objective.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do agree with having someone in your life that you can talk to that is completely objective.
Yeah, that's true, you know, and I think, and it makes sense because, I mean, therapists sometimes I think are overrated, you know. Not everybody's a great therapist.
That's
true. Just because you have a license or whatever.
Right.
And you open an office doesn't mean you're great.
No, you have to find the one that is for you. And I know there's a lot of people in the world that probably have tried it one time or are afraid to try it because they're like... they think something about it. But I think it's a process, just like everything is. Like, you don't always like your first doctor you go to, like your physician.
Yeah.
Not everybody has bedside manner.
Yeah.
So you're not going to like every therapist you go to.
That's true. You may not click.
Right.
Yeah. I know. I've been to therapists before, and some of them are better than others, you know.
So. Mine told me never to come back.
Really?
The recent one I went to. So I have a friend who went to him and thought he's great.
Uh-huh.
I went to him and I went like, I don't know how many times, maybe a handful, 6 to 8 times. Between like the 4th and 8th time, I just felt it went downhill. Whether or not he stopped listening to me or he just started to get his own opinions of things or whatever it was, by the last session, he was telling me that in order to pursue my career, I had to sell my soul and I needed to be like Ryan Seacrest. And I was like the weirdest thing. And I was like, are you... even listening to me, he was telling me about other clients he has and like celebrities and things. I'm like, you definitely shouldn't be telling me about your other clients.
Exactly.
So then he was like, well, I think you're cured. You don't have to come back. I'm like, what? This is like the antithesis of what therapy is supposed to be. So
yeah.
I also felt like he was narcoleptic or something because he would fall asleep or he was drunk. I don't know what was going on.
What a great therapist. How did you find him?
Through a friend that said he was great.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So
maybe that friend wanted somebody to fall asleep while they're talking.
No, I think they just had a different experience, which is also true. Not everybody's going to like everybody's therapist. So you get recommendations and it's just not always right for you.
Exactly.
I think Yelp is a good place to go, actually, for real reviews.
That's true, huh? So you don't have to know anybody or anything.
No, right? And it's people that, like, have nothing to gain from it. They just want to share their opinion.
Right.
I mean, you know how much I love yoga. I went to a yoga class yesterday, and I want to write a scathing review.
Really?
Of the teacher.
Is that like a new yoga class or a new teacher?
It's a different studio because I have class pass, so I can go anywhere in the city. Oh, so okay. I was in Venice, and I went to a yoga class in Venice, and it was just the world's worst yoga class for me.
Wow.
Like, for what I thought it was going to be and what it was awful. I would never go back again. And if anybody were to read my review, it wasn't against the teacher so much as what they said the class would be. And if you want a different kind of class, don't go to that class. Some people might like that class, and I think people did like the class. But right. I was like, I wanted to stab the teacher, and I wanted to run out screaming. And that's the opposite of what yoga should be doing for you.
Yeah.
But I stayed, and for the reason of staying, I was like, well, yoga is, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable and fighting through things and getting through life and having patience and figuring out what emotions come up while you're doing uncomfortable things and figuring it out. And what I figured out was, I hate this class. I never want to come back here again. Yeah. But I'm going to do it because I'm in it.
Right.
I'm going to get through it and see what it brings up for me.
So what makes a bad class? I mean, what happened?
For me, it wasn't a good workout. It was stretching for 45 minutes of the 75 minutes. I'm like, I didn't come here to stretch, and I didn't come here to meditate. I came for a good yoga flow workout. Right. It wasn't a good yoga flow workout at all. It was 45 minutes of stretching to the point where he was like, okay, well, now let's take a rest in in child's pose. For yogis, you know that that's where you, like, literally rest. Mm. What are we resting from when all we've been doing is stretching on our backs? Like, we're not resting yet. There's nothing to rest from.
Right.
We didn't do anything. When has the workout? It hasn't even started.
Yeah.
And he talked so much. That's the other thing. If you want to be somebody that speaks, maybe get yourself a radio show. Write a book. Start like a group.
Not in a yoga class.
No. Okay. No one. I'm there to work out. Like, do not talk the entire time. Even during Shavasana, which is the last pose, which is like your final resting pose where you're lying on your back, your eyes are closed. It's almost like nap time. He talked the entire time.
Really?
And he's like, you should be relaxing. I can't relax when you're talking to me. Stop talking. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I love yoga a lot, but a lot is to do with the teachers I've had.
Yeah. And this one got under your skin.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. All right. Well, so don't go back.
Never.
Yeah.
Never. And I'm writing a Yelp review because no one should waste 75 minutes of their time if they expected a different class.
Right.
Because what they got is that.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know. I mean, you know, I think some businesses live and die by the reviews, you know.
And they should, because it's, you know, public opinion, and customers are everything.
Exactly. And the thing is, maybe it'll help them improve their service a little bit when they hear those comments.
And I only went because I read good Yelp reviews. I mean, I probably should have read even deeper than I like, sort of peripherally read. But it had a lot of, like, good ratings, and I went. But I didn't read about the specific teacher, and I wish I did.
Yeah.
I'm going to write about him.
Yeah. Did they have something about the teacher? Did somebody else complain?
No, that's what I'm saying. They didn't have that.
Okay, so he didn't have anything. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But I'm going to write about him because he is a very particular kind of teacher.
Right.
And if you want that, great. If you don't, do not go.
Okay.
No.
All right. Well, explain that to people. You don't want him to lose all his business. You
exactly.
Know,
because, like, it's nothing personal against the guy. I'm sure he's a great human. And
and maybe other students like that.
Right. You know? And that's exactly what I'm saying. But if you want a good workout and you want to do traditional yoga, that is not
it. And you want it to be quiet.
Right.
Yeah.
Not it. Oh, my God. The song would come on and it was like, he would talk about, like, let's say it was like Man in the Mirror. Mm-hmm. Then he would talk about, like, how yoga is a reflection of your inner self. And just like the song, Man in the Mirror, the one that's playing right now, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Let me infer something for myself. You don't have to continue talking through it.
All right. I think we get that one, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still upset.
Yeah. I know. But the funny thing is some businesses don't get affected by bad reviews, I figure. You know, it's like you go to the mall here, there's like a kebab place that I like to go to. It's like fast food, you know, in the food court in the mall.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I go there, I like to go there to eat there because it's different from all the hamburgers and the pizzas and all that. So, but I never liked the service. It seems like a family business or something. And they never smile. You know, they're foreigners, you know, but it doesn't mean anything. But they don't smile. Not nice service. Great food, though. So I looked up on Yelp, and some people complained, you know, that... they're saying, you know, it's good food for a mall place or something, you know. But there were some complaints about, not so much about the service, I think, but about just the overall. But then, I finally said, I have to write a review on this and tell people exactly how it is, even though it's so insignificant, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people should know, because I figured if the people actually care and they read their reviews, maybe they'll improve.
Yeah.
You know, so you're helping them out too. And many businesses don't realize that, you know, even if it's a bad review, it's a writing on the wall, you know. Maybe look at it positively and think, wow, you know, I didn't realize this was happening.
Right. It's like a suggestions box.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's a modern day suggestions box.
Yeah. And people sometimes don't even think about customer service at all.
Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, like family business. That
if you have a business in service, your priority should be customer service.
Absolutely.
But people don't. I don't know. Common sense isn't so common.
No, exactly. And it doesn't make sense either.
No.
Yeah. So, Andrea, I met her on LinkedIn, like I said, and I decided to expand our presence there. Simply because, you know, I don't know.
Did you connect with me on there?
I think I did. I think I sent you a request. But I think you're not even, you know that you're not connected to the LA Talk Radio thing on Facebook?
I
sent you an invitation.
I haven't been on LinkedIn and I can't tell you
how.
No,
not LinkedIn. Oh. Facebook. But
I thought I liked it.
You did?
I don't know.
Because I was sending some invitations yesterday and it just said invited or something.
Oh, maybe I liked our show. I don't know.
Yeah, you probably didn't like the show. But that's okay.
I'll look back into it.
No big deal. But the thing is that without even noticing, you know, because I started my pages, you know, just to be there on LinkedIn. So I had my personal page, the company page. And without even noticing, you know, it's gone to like 500 plus. They don't tell you how many you have, right? When you go over 500, it just says 500 plus.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, just get people just from people, you know, just by attraction, pretty much, not through promotion.
Yeah.
So, but I figured, wow, you know, I mean, there's probably a lot of stuff happening here, behind the scenes. So. Sure enough, I got a little book on LinkedIn for Business, and because it interested me, so I thought, well, let's find out what's going on here. And it seems like it's pretty useful for businesses, you know.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. I guess a lot of people find jobs through there, too, huh?
They do.
Yeah.
I will say I've gotten a lot of Facebook requests lately, and I don't know if it's because of the show or not, but I have like 5 to 10 Facebook requests every day now from people I have no
idea
who they are.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I don't always accept everybody just because I'm like, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Like, why are we going to be friends? And I have to see your stuff on my newsfeed.
Well, but I do that because I'm in the public eye, you know, and it's like.
Well, that's what I use Twitter and Instagram for.
Right, exactly.
Facebook, I feel like should be friends.
Yeah. Well, depends, you know, but I mean, because I always, Facebook was my favorite, so.
Right.
I've always connected with people there. But, you know, I mean, there's, everybody's got different. You know, different things, different privacy settings
right.
and stuff. For me, it's like whatever I put on there, everybody can see. I don't care.
Well, for me, I have like our Two Drunk Girls page. We have that, right. You know, and that's we're not going to be friends. Lauren and I are not going to go and accept everybody's friendship and everybody that she knows and I know. We're not going to like. So that's one place for all of the information about our show.
Yeah.
And me as a person, I don't know that I want everyone to know everything about my life.
Right, yeah, because so you're talking about your life a lot. Maybe. Right. You see, I don't talk about my life on Facebook. I just like make comments, you know, opinions, things like that.
Yeah.
But I don't really talk about my life, so so I can do that. But it's obviously by choice, you
right.
know. I mean,
like on Facebook, I'll post all the photos of my family.
Right.
But on Instagram, I'll post one. You know, okay. or Twitter, it'll link to my Instagram, so that one photo will be there. But I don't want all yeah. the strangers in the world seeing 20
yeah,
pictures
I don't
of
blame
me and
you.
My cousins.
Yeah, I don't blame you. But it does help getting like listeners and followers and
yeah.
fans and things like that, you know. It's funny, they used to call those fan pages, remember? Before it was likes, it was fans and on Facebook, so... So every page that wasn't your personal one was a fan page.
Oh yeah, what is
and
it
then
now?
They changed it to like, and it's just they just call it a page.
Yeah,
it's not a fan page. You
right.
know? If you have a page on Facebook and it's also not fans, it's like it doesn't say become a fan. Now it's just like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, so that's that, and try to expand at least the show's presence on Instagram.
Yeah.
But it irritates me because it's only a phone app, you know? I mean, you go on the computer, you can't do anything other than just view things.
You can write right? Captions and comments and stuff. I think you can even post through the computer.
I don't know that you can post pictures through the computer. I've tried it.
I heard that you can, and that's where you can write like a long caption. Because on the phone, you can only write like a certain amount, and it's formatted a certain way. But if you do it on the computer, there might be a separate like... website that you log in that does it.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have friends that do it though.
Because I try everything I try to do on the computer first because I'm more on my computer than on my phone. But I thought, well, maybe they made this because it's actually like a mobile thing that you do when you take pictures and stuff, you know. So
yeah.
you don't need to be near a computer or something. But then they don't have one for the iPad. So when you download the iPhone one, it looks really big and ugly on the iPhone, you know, and the iPad. So and you wonder, you know, by now you would think they would make one. But that's what I'm saying. I think they focus more on phones. That's where they get their people.
Yeah.
You know, that's why there's an integrated camera button and everything.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I guess for pictures it's pretty cool because I've been posting all the pictures with the guests on Facebook. But I guess a lot of people go on Instagram, especially younger people. I understand they go on there more than Facebook.
Yeah. Right? Well, because it's also that ADD generation. Like,
yeah. And they can't be where their parents are. So they have to be in other places.
Exactly. And now Facebook has been taken over by our parents, so we right. moved on. And also, it's just like, again, just photos
right.
and videos. And it's like you see it and you move on.
Right.
It's not, you have to read it, 97 comments. And then if you comment, you get an alert every time somebody else comments.
Right.
Facebook is a little intrusive, I think.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you know, I enjoy Facebook because I feel there's a connection that you don't make on Twitter. Twitter is more like of a broadcasting thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't see how you can hold a conversation on there. You know, I mean, you have to start like doing the hashtag or just look at the conversation, right?
Right.
Now they have conversation. They didn't used to have it before. So you have to actually look for the different things to see who they're replying to whom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still like that, you know, because I'm not going to go look at every conversation. So sometimes people are just replying to someone like, oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? You know, it's
yeah.
like, what kind of a tweet is that? You know, so... So, yeah, so they have different functions, too.
Right. And, I mean, everyone has their preference.
Yeah.
Mine is Instagram.
Did you used to be on MySpace before that?
I was.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Facebook killed it.
It really killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, MySpace was the only game in town for social networking.
Yeah.
Stuff,
I know? Mean, there's people still use it for music.
Really? For music?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big music social network now.
Right.
People can, like, upload their music and comment, and I think people are being, like, discovered on MySpace even.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I wonder if people get discovered, like on Facebook or
they
something,
do.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Which, I wanted to bring this up because I totally forgot about this, but we're talking about social networks. There's this video that's circling around. I don't know if you saw it, about a robot dog.
No.
Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
So it's a robot, but it walks like an animal. It walks totally like a dog. So if you kick it, it doesn't like fall over. It just kind of like, you know, moves to the side like you would if you kicked a dog or something. And it keeps on walking. But the legs work so realistically and that everything is just amazing. So now they're asking, is it cruel to kick a robot dog? Now, come on, you know, it's a robot. But that's what they're saying. They're saying that it's starting to look so real that you think it's actually, that it actually
right.
has
feelings. Well, I think the act of wanting to kick a dog, even right. knowing that you and your you are a person that would kick a dog, but because it's a robot, you feel better about it.
Right.
I feel like it's still saying the same thing.
I don't know. I mean, they're kicking it just to show how it works.
Right.
You know? I mean, but yeah, come on, it's a machine, you know. But that's the thing is
right.
that it's hard for us to separate it when they behave like living things.
Right. Like, would you kick a refrigerator? Sure.
Yeah.
Would you kick a dog? No.
Yeah.
But if you're somebody that would kick a robot dog, you might kick a real dog.
I don't know. That's a stretch.
There is a metaphor in there or an analogy somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're totally out of time, folks. Andrea Gross, thank you so much for calling in. Jen, have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.